Acts chapter 21, and we'll read from verse 27. So perhaps you'll remember that Paul was going to take a vow in the temple. We did wonder about the wisdom of that, but here we are approaching the end of the days in which that vow was taken. And we read in verse 27, "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place.' For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him, and commanded him to be bound with 2 chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, 'Away with him!' And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, 'May I speak unto thee?' Who said, 'Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?' But Paul said, 'I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people.' And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in Hebrew tongue, in the Hebrew tongue, saying." And we're not going to find out what he said until the next chapter. Last time when we were thinking about this passage, we saw how that Paul, at James's request, was preparing to take a vow to make a sacrifice in the temple. And as I've already mentioned, we wondered about the wisdom of that. It seems as if Paul and James together were anxious that the population might be placated, because there was anxiety, there was a sense of trouble that Paul was in the city and that he had a reputation for undermining the Jewish faith and Jewish worship, principally the law of God and the obedience of people to that law. And so Paul was getting ready to take this vow, and it seems to have been what we call a Nazarite vow, and it required a number of days' preparation. And it seems to be in this passage that we're told it was coming near the end of those days, those 7 days, and Paul was getting ready to go into the temple in order to make his sacrifice and be part of that ceremony. But the interesting thing is this, that while Paul and James had this plan together, the Lord Jesus Christ had another plan. And that reminded me, as I thought about this passage, of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. And that little verse says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Can you just think about that with me for a moment? Think about what that little verse is saying. A man's heart deviseth his way. A man thinks about what it is that he wants to do. A man's passions, a man's desires, a person's intentions are one thing. But in the event, no matter what we want to do, no matter what we think that we should do, it is God who ultimately directs our steps. We might have a plan to do something, but God will work out what actually happens. And here we find in Paul's life that there were a number of Jews of Asia, and these people might well have been from Ephesus. And I'll tell you why that was in a moment. But we're told that they were from Asia, and this is that part of Turkey where Paul had done a lot of his ministry. And these people knew Paul and hated Paul, and they wanted to kill Paul. And they saw him, they had come up to Jerusalem as well, perhaps to go to the feast, or perhaps more likely they were pursuing Paul through all his journey and now followed him to Jerusalem, planning to kill him if they got the opportunity. And they saw him in the temple and they called on the people around about to help them in their wicked plan of killing Paul. And as I was reading this, I thought to myself, I wonder why they shouted for help. I wonder why they just didn't kill Paul there and then. If he wasn't suspecting it, we know that he wasn't a man who carried any weapons. He wasn't a man who was big and strong. He was, in fact, a rather small man, it appears. And yet, here it seems that they shouted for others to come and help them to slay Paul. And that's why I wonder if perhaps these people were from Ephesus, because maybe you can remember that there was a riot in Ephesus. And maybe these people thought to themselves, you know what? This would be a good way for us to commit murder without anyone being held personally responsible. If we can get Paul murdered as part of a riot, then everybody will be able to say, well, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, and nobody will be held personally responsible for his death. And so they generated this commotion. They called for help and they started a disturbance, during which they grabbed Paul, they dragged him out of the temple, and they started to put him to death. They started to kick him. They started to punch him. They started to stamp on his body when he fell to the ground. And we're told in verse 30 that as a result of this commotion, as a result of this assault that went on against Paul, that the whole city was moved. Perhaps you heard me reading that in verse 30. And all the people ran together. There was a shout went up in the city. Something's happening. Something's going on at the temple gate. And everybody in the city ran to the temple to see what it was that was happening, such that there was a large mob of people. And it's very interesting, because what we discover here is that the riot was too successful. Everybody ran together to the place, so much so that the Roman soldiers that were stationed near the temple, they heard the noise, they saw all the people running to the temple, and so the captain of the band, or the captain of the soldiers, he also sent a large number of soldiers out into the street. It's called Soldiers and Centurions. Now, if any of the younger people who are listening are kind of clever about what a centurion was, they would know that he was in charge of 100 soldiers. So here are at least several centurions. So there are soldiers and centurions. So there may have been hundreds of soldiers all running out into the street in order to quieten the people and cause there to be peace restored in the city where this tumult, where this riot was taking place. In fact, a little bit later in Acts, we'll come to it in a few weeks' time perhaps, this man who was the captain of the band, he called these soldiers an army. And so this gives us some sense of the number of troops that were sent out into the streets to restore order. And when the Jews there in Jerusalem saw all these soldiers running towards them with their swords and their spears, they left off beating Paul. And Paul was not actually killed. He was beaten, he was battered, but he wasn't actually killed because the Roman soldiers were running to his defense. He was arrested, and we're told that he was put into two chains. And we're also told that the captain of the guard said, "What is all this about?" But no one could properly explain why Paul was being attacked. So the captain of the soldiers commanded that Paul, and this is interesting, not be led to the castle or the tower that was at the castle where the soldiers were stationed, but he was carried there. These soldiers had to put Paul above their heads and carry him into the tower because there were so many people standing round about the shoulders trying to punch Paul and shouting at him for him to be killed. And it's interesting that they cried, "Away with him." These were the very same words that were used when the Lord Jesus was being crucified. And it seems as if Paul was about to follow the same pattern as the Lord. And these people were shouting, "Away with him, kill him, let him be slain, let him be executed." But what I want to draw your attention to, and I'm not got too much more to say about this, but I just want to draw your attention to something which I think is very important, because we've been a little bit surprised at what Paul did in taking this vow. But here, right now, as Paul is being led up these stairs, we discover where Paul's true passion lay. What was at the bottom of Paul's intention? What was at the heart of his desire? Was to preach the gospel, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And amazingly, in the midst of this riot, when Paul had all these fists and feet and elbows and arms coming down on top of him as he was lying there getting beaten and then being carried in chains up the stairs into the prison and into the tower where this Roman commander would have him put, he suddenly thought to himself, "This is perhaps the largest congregation, the largest audience that I've ever had." He had a full city of people, and he had a whole army of Roman soldiers before him. And he says to the commander, "Can I speak to these people? Can I say a few words?" And I think that is absolutely wonderful. I think that only God could have arranged that. James and Paul thought, "Let's not cause any trouble in the city. Let's try and keep things quiet so that I'll have an opportunity to preach the gospel to the church and to anyone who will listen to me." But God had a different plan. He said, no. First of all, he saved Paul from actually making that vow and sacrificing in the temple, which was a very inappropriate thing for him to do. Secondly, he caused that riot to take place. But thirdly, he used the occasion of that riot to have Paul preach to such a vast crowd of people that perhaps it was the largest audience that the Apostle Paul had ever had in one place at one time. So he asks the permission of the captain. The captain isn't sure who this man is. He thought he was an Egyptian. He thought he was somebody else. Turns out Paul is able to say to him, I'm a Roman citizen. I'm from the city of Tarsus. And that granted Paul special privileges. And so the captain agreed that he should address this huge crowd. And here we see the hand of God at work, the Lord Jesus Christ's providence in this wonderful opportunity for the Apostle Paul to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel and to give his testimony and to speak simply about what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him. So our lesson today is simply this. We don't know how things will turn out. And we make the best decisions that we can, given the demands and the circumstances. But we do not need to fear what will happen if we are the Lord's. Because what this passage reminds us is that our God, our Saviour, is in control of every situation. Do you remember Joseph and his brethren? How Joseph was sent down to Egypt as a slave, and many years later he could say to his brothers, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And we're reminded by Paul elsewhere that the Lord Jesus Christ was given for us, that God the Father spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Lord directs our steps, even in the mistakes that we make. And does that not lift a great weight from off our shoulders and off of our conscience to know that even our mistakes, even our errors, even our sins can be used by God to accomplish his purpose and to do his people good? May the Lord bless us in these thoughts this morning.